Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
We are ready to study the Bible today. This is the Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. My name is Paul Adams. I'm joined by Mark Schatz, and we are ready to study in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. As you look at this book of 1 Peter, Peter is definitely preparing these Christians for the suffering that they're going to have to endure. He wants them to endure that faithfully, never to lose their focus. And in fact, he keeps refocusing them throughout this book on things they need to give their attention to, things they need to avoid, so that they can have a hope in heaven that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. As we look at that, Mark, let's go ahead and look at verses 1 through 4.
Well, Paul, when you think about this inheritance that he keeps refocusing them on, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, he writes to the leaders of the Christians there, the elders. And we're going to read that beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Peter here seems to be trying to make a lot of connections. He speaks of elders among these Christians. He speaks of himself as an elder. He speaks of Christ as the chief shepherd and the flock over which these are to be, the flock which is to be cared for, And as we see this, and he lays these things out, Peter mentions that he's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. One of the things the apostles were called upon to do was to be witnesses, and they did witness the suffering of Christ. But here he not only refers to himself as an apostle, one who is a witness of those things, but he's a partaker of something.
He says he's a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. That just as these elders were going to or could look forward to that glory that would be revealed, and just as Christians, as we looked at in the previous chapter 4, could look forward to being a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed, so was Peter. So Peter here, who's an apostle and he's also an elder, he could look forward to this same glory that is to be revealed.
As we look here, there are some instructions that are given to shepherds. Now, as I was thinking about this, and Mark and I were discussing this before we began, I was thinking about the suffering they would have to endure, that there is great value in having good leadership when there are hard times coming. And here we're told that they are to shepherd the flock, and they're given some instructions here. And we talked a little bit about how they are to not be selfish, but they are to be selfless. And they are to not allow themselves to become distracted with the persecution, but realize that they have to maintain the best interest of the flock.
Yeah, when I look at this starting at chapter 2, he not only gives them some details like you just mentioned, but right out of the gate when he tells them what they should be as elders, he uses some terms that are really exciting, that they're to be active. They're to be actively leading the flock. He uses the term shepherd. And that's the idea of you're actively doing something. You are shepherding something. He also talks about exercising oversight. So when he uses the word shepherding and he uses the word exercising, what that really brought into my mind is that they needed to be active. They needed to be active leaders and involved in taking care of the flock. You could have bad leaders. Jesus mentioned the idea of some shepherds that were hirelings in the Gospels, and that when trouble came, the hirelings would flee. Well, these elders that he's talking to, those who are truly doing the will of God, they're to be actively shepherding and exercising oversight of the flock. They're to be caring for the flock and being examples like we're going to look at. Verse 2, he talks about how they should be. He says, you shepherd and exercise oversight of the flock. And you're to do that in a certain way. You're not to be forced to do it, But you're to do that voluntarily. You're to do it in a certain way, not just voluntarily, but you're to do it according to the will of God. Just because you're an elder or a shepherd doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. You are still constrained by the will of God. And he also mentions not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. So when I summarize verse 2, when I look at the type of leadership they are to have, Paul, what I see is that it's to be an active leadership. They are to be actively out there shepherding and taking care of the flock. They're to be doing it according to God's will. They're to be doing it voluntarily and eagerly. That describes a certain type of leader, an elder, that he's trying to encourage here.
As you think about that, there might be the temptation for a leader when there is intense persecution. There might be a temptation for the leader to say, you know what, I've got to watch out for myself. I'm getting out of here. And maybe even it could be a corrupting influence, because they're warned here to be careful of dishonest gain, to not look at how you can gain an advantage in some way, whether it's financial or otherwise, but to make sure that you are, I appreciate that, Mark, actively doing your work. You're not abandoning the flock just because wolves are everywhere. Just because there's danger on every side, you're not abandoning your post in doing that. And you're not on some kind of a power trip, ordering people around. But instead, he says, not as being lords over those entrusted you, but examples. When the suffering comes, it may be that the leaders will be the ones that the persecutors want to break first. If we can break their leaders, we can destroy the whole flock. And so you leaders are going to have to, you shepherds are going to have to be strong. You elders are going to have to stand and do what's right.
Yeah, when you look at that too, he talks about if they are the right leaders, if they're the will of God, if they are actively leading the flock and they're doing it voluntarily and eagerly, and they're not doing it because of a power trip to lord over. They're doing it because they really love Christ and they really love the flock and they want to help. You could see how powerful that would be in the lives of these Christians who are undergoing these fiery trials, to be able to know that there are leaders that are watching over them, that are giving them good examples, and that are encouraging them even here on earth. And he goes and he mentions something in verse 4 that encourages these shepherds. And what is that, Paul?
Well, I see a few things. First of all, he says that as shepherds, you may feel the responsibility of having a flock that you watch over. But he says that there is a chief shepherd, the Lord Christ, that he's watching over you. And he cares about you. That'll come out later in this chapter, all that kind of care that he has. But it's important for these people who are taking on these great responsibilities to know that the chief shepherd, as they are shepherds, the one who's over them is watching out for them. You watch out for the flock. Jesus is watching out for you. And here he says that the great hope that we have is that we'll receive the crown of glory. That no matter how bad the persecution comes, that God has something better. What is the nature of that crown?
He says in verse 4 that it's the unfading crown of glory. He's refocusing them, because if you remember, he started out in 1 Peter chapter 1 and he talked about that inheritance that was incorruptible, that was reserved in heaven for you, that faded not away. He's brought them full circle to remind them of that unfading crown of glory, that if they do the will of God and live faithfully to him, no matter what, that they will receive this unfading, beautiful, precious crown of glory.
So what he's painting there is a picture that there are sufferings that might last for a time. They might even take your life, but that there is something that'll never grow old, that there is an eternal home, that it doesn't fade away, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's reserved in heaven for you. Maybe as you hear those words, you say, everything in this life seems to break down. Everything in this life seems to get old, and that's true. But God has a plan that if we'll submit ourselves to the gospel of Christ, that we can have something that does not fade away. We can have the hope of eternal life. We'd love to study with you about that. Send us an email at truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com, and we'll follow up with you so that we can talk about the gospel, the good news that Christ came to bring. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate your interest in studying the Bible. Join us again next time for a few more minutes. Yeah.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.